Amazing example of a woman of faith. She leads by example to her family in everything she does. She speaks faith into those around her. God has truly blessed her with a passion to inspire, and we are all blessed to know her. Kina is a wife, mom, and a true friend. She works hard for those she loves and never... Dang it. Okay. And never complains. She's a true woman of strength. Stop it. She has taught all who know her to open their hearts to God's grace. Why are you not reading this, Kim? Thank you. He is her guide, giving her grace to her all along the way. Please welcome Kina as she shares, "Let Your Light Shine." Woo!
This is a very new place for me. Right here. Okay. Good thing I don't have to hold it. You all saw, well, if you did see me a couple years ago, that didn't go so well at church. Can I just leave it like that? It wants to move. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to do this the best that I can and just pray for a little guidance along the way. I told myself I wasn't going to cry yet. So you all got something the kids and I put together. So my message is let your light shine. And women of worth, so much of our worth comes from what we think others value our worth as, and it should be as God values our worth. And so there's a poem that has, it's pretty crazy actually. It's not crazy, it's God, and I know that. One of the things that I feared coming up here today was that I don't know the Bible like a lot of people standing up here might, and I live it, but I don't know it word for word. I can't quote scripture, and so I was really having a hard time with that. And before I ever even felt the crazy, I don't know what got into me, but that crazy feeling of telling Belinda that I needed to speak today, which was like an out-of-body experience with a little push from some others. And so Pastor Jim, many months ago, we were waiting for life group to start, and this hadn't even been a plan yet, and I was telling him that there's an area in which I know I need to grow in my faith, and that's knowing scripture, or being able to, and he sat with me, and he said, you know, God speaks through you, so he said that when he gets up, it may not always be that he knows exactly the scripture, but he knows that God is speaking through him. And so that's my prayer today, is that I speak to your hearts, but maybe I don't do it all just perfectly right, but it's coming from my heart, and I feel like it's coming from God. So the poem, Our Deepest Fear, by Marianne Williamson. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine, as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. So this came to me, and I wasn't even looking for it, and it ended up becoming something that I pass on to my employees. I'm a manager at a veterinary clinic, and I'm constantly pouring life into them. My boys, The people in life that I cross paths with, the mentorship group that I'm a part of, this is what I feel like is meant to be my purpose and a way to give back to other females, like our small group last night. It was so amazing to me that you have the insight that you have at the amazing age that you are. And if somebody could have ever given me or maybe just allowed me to blossom in the way, I didn't have this when I was a kid. I was like Kim. I grew up in the Lutheran faith, and you were seen and not heard. Didn't have a voice, and basically you were just quiet and not allowed to really show emotion so much. And that's not a bad thing. I'm not saying my parents were bad. My parents were awesome. Still to this day, they're married. They've made it through crazy life changes up and down, and they're still, Kim's mom knows my parents, and I've known her since I was born. Well, she's known me since I was born. So, basically, I was a quiet kid who was expected to shh, and my dad would even say that. If I wanted a what or a why, I would have asked for it. And so our faith, it wasn't even called that. It was church. And you basically just did it because you had to. So I always thought I could never be baptized again because I was baptized when I was born. And that's what the Lutheran faith believes, is that you're baptized at birth. And then I have found out through my relationship with this church and Pastor Jim and Belinda that I can, and I can't wait, and I'm excited. So tomorrow, lots of us can, so I would encourage that. All right, so a little bit of my story. I know I'm really shy, and I know I'm really quiet. And some of you know me at a different level, and shy and quiet is my safe zone, and that's where kind of you go to. So some of you bring it out, Kim's, in other ways than sometimes maybe I would like, but it's all good. So what I realized in coming up here was that I know a lot of you don't know my story or know my life path or my walk. And I'm not, because I've done a lot of healing and I've come out of a lot of hurt or sorrow or hardship, and I've chosen to do that first and foremost for my boys. Keegan and Merrick are my everything. There was a time in my life where I didn't have a purpose, and those tiny little boys in their diapers, I love you, Mommy. It's okay, Mommy. You got this, Mommy. And it's because those are the things I know I was pouring into them, but I didn't have it to pour into me. And it was a tough go. I was married to my high school sweetheart, actually. Started dating him from the age of 13, 14, somewhere in there. Did the military life for a long, long time. And that, I had a really hard time for many years even calling him a gentleman. But I know that that's not the Christ-like thing to do. So that gentleman is now leading entire squadrons. That's a big deal. He's a pilot. He was a pilot that whole time. But he was not good to Keegan, America, and I. And our life was a scary life. Our life was a sad life. And I made it all right all the time. Until one time, something happened. And because this is recorded, I am choosing to withhold some things because my boys and I don't need to relive them. And it's not necessary for you either. But because of the last time that we were ever put into danger, I literally made a decision in the split of a second, never again. Never again. Thank you. I had to work a lot through all of that. I had to work through the person you see now. Man, when I was going through all that, my parents didn't support me. They didn't support me because I kept everything from them. So I was raised with the suck it up and go. You got this, and you figure it out. You make it work, and you don't ever call home. So by golly, I never called home. Not for that reason. I would call home just to hear my dad's voice because he was my strength. And you know, just to hear them, but they didn't know why. And that was a tough time. So I lost my family because I made a decision to divorce, which is something you don't do in the Lutheran faith. And then I also lost my marriage and trying to raise two boys, and it was a tough go. But God helped me out, and I know that it was God. And so for that, Keegan and Merrick and I were three peas in a pod. We say that a lot. God comes first, and because Keegan and Merrick have taught me that, and I'm going to talk more about that as I go, they lead me in faith, and that's why I'm here. So I wouldn't be up here in front of you if I didn't have two boys that believed in me so much that sometimes I just don't know how. I don't know how or why, but they do. Okay, so, my why, as I already shared with you, the boys, and one of the things I wanted to share that I think is so important for you to listen is that how God is speaking to us through others. And sometimes for me, it's someone like my Gram. She can literally kick my patootie from up there. I'm driving down the road. I smell her. I hear her. And I know she's there. 10 years ago, that would have completely freaked me out. And I would have just like not even known it. Not felt it. Not. We were talking about that last night in small group too. It's like if you're open to it. And I would encourage every single one of us to walk away. Like Kim says, I have a little different method, I know, because Kim teases about her having a 2x4 and me having, and I do, I come in with a swoop, I guess, basically. But I encourage the same way that Kim encourages you. 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I don't know, I came to this and I was in the farthest corner and I did not want to be seen. I was so nervous to be here. I didn't want to get involved. The fact of even anybody ever praying over me, that felt really awkward, and I thought I was out of place. So fast forward 3 or 4 years later, are you kidding me? And you're another example for me of that. I remember sitting in a small group with you, and I related to you because it was like, I'm shy, I'm nervous, I don't want to talk to people, I don't want to interact like that, and now you're giving out, however that is, but you give out the, we used to call it bulletin, but you give out the paperwork at the door. You're the greeter. Thank you. So, Susan, look at where we come. And then you're another one for me too, Hannah, and I'm not, I just need you guys to know that you have shown me also that we can do this. So, somebody said last night that it seemed like the numbers in the room were less. And then in the same breath, whoever it was, I can't remember, maybe it was Stephanie. You were like, maybe it's because we know more people. So I think that's true for me too, is the first I was like, man, the numbers are smaller. No, they're not. It's because I actually am involved and I feel like part of you instead of an outsider looking in thinking, oh no, the numbers, and I just want to run away. So I really, really encourage you to please listen to those that speak into your heart. I have a really good friend of mine who's a doctor at my veterinary clinic. She says she's an atheist. And she was coaching me last Friday on, she's like, Kina, you need to not worry about this. You've got this. And she knew I was speaking at Women's Retreat. She doesn't know what that means exactly, but she, coming from a person who claims she's atheist, and she's giving me coaching and guidance on, no, you just speak what you feel and you know that you've got this. I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay, my next point is leading by example, and that also I feel like goes into discipleship. And so I'm going to read a scripture. Acts 20, verse 24. And I do the New Living Translation, so it might be different, but my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. And so I know what's happened to me over the last 4 years, and a lot of it has to do, like I said, with the boys and those people in my life that pour into me. And leading by example for me is number one. I feel like in all walks of my life, whether it's here, whether it's with my family, whether it's professionally, I just believe that that is so important. And so I hope and pray that that's what you see in me and that's what you find in me as either I go through this or you get to know me better or we continue in life like we already are. So I hope when you walk away from here that you feel a little bit more pep in your step and that you too can look at this from a leading by example standpoint, because I think that we need more of us. The next thing that I have for you is living a life of significance. So when that was first said to me, I was like, what does that mean? Meaning, I don't want to be significant. And my brain automatically tagged money onto that for some reason. But that's not what it's about. My husband likes to refer to the dash. And I was actually going to read that for you, but I've decided not to because we all know what that is. So you're born, you pass, the dash in between. So your life in between. And what type of legacy did you leave behind? What type? And this was something that came to me at a training a few weeks ago, a leadership training for my corporate office in Denver. I went kicking and screaming. And I didn't want to go. I didn't want to leave the boys. Keegan got up and spoke at church that Sunday, and I was just mad that I wasn't there. And I was angry because I figured, I was angry because I was doubting myself and the fact that I know God had a bigger plan, but I didn't trust him in that. So I was gone that weekend. Keegan spoke on Sunday, and I was at a training, and the gentleman named Kerry Plemons, he is a trainer and a leadership speaker for Starbucks, actually. So he does all of the Starbucks training for upper management. Well, then they now have opened up other corporations into that. And so the corporation that I now am working for, they sent us. And if I did not totally get my humble pie handed to me, it was so much. I finished my message there. Because it was so impactful, it was so filled with God, and the message I needed to complete this message was there. And so I did a lot of apologizing to the man upstairs, because I thought I knew better, but apparently, as we all know, we don't know better. So what he says, and I loved this, was how far does your shadow reach? And at first I was like, what does that mean? But it's the same idea as how far does your shadow cast and how many people do you reach? And I like that a lot because that for me is, it is living a life of significance. Is when I'm gone, I want people to remember me for how I made them feel and the purpose that they walked away with after we were together. At Hope, when I train and I do mentorship one-on-one, I've never spoken in this kind of a group for this purpose. I've spoken in front of volunteer groups that were much bigger than this, and it didn't have this purpose. But I want those people to feel like their life has been somehow enriched or touched. And that's another thing that I would challenge all of us to do, is to have that purpose. So I have another scripture. Proverbs 31, verse 26. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instruction with kindness. And my Gram for me and my godmother, Carol, were both amazing examples of this. And like I said, Gram still is talking to me today, and most of the time she's kicking my patootie. Keena, knock it off. Keena, stop that. Quit nagging on him. I can just hear her. She's constantly pouring into me. So, all right, taking the focus off yourself and to appreciate other perspectives. This right here, I was 2-3 years ago when I stood up in church on Sunday and I didn't have to, but Belinda kind of pushed me a little bit, and I was like, oh, man. Well, Keegan, again, had just stood up in front of church the couple weekends before after Youth Sunday. And so these ladies were like, you going to speak tomorrow? I'm like, nope. And I was flat out, nope. And then I'm texting Belinda later. I'm like, oh, I know I need to. And I'm going to do this. And I stood up there and shook like a leaf. And it was awful in my mind just because it was like I didn't know how I was going to get up there or get back. But I did it. Well, I told myself today, you're not going to go up there and freak out. You're not. I don't have to hold this so you can't see how much I'm shaking, but it's not like it was before. All right, let me read this scripture first. taking the focus off yourself and to appreciate others' perspectives. Proverbs 31, verse 30. Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. And so I feel like that goes in alignment with taking the taking the focus off yourself, because fearing the Lord should be more important than worrying about what others are thinking of you. And another thing that I feel is a huge part of this is perspective. Females' minds, I've always joked and teased, the environment that I work in is primarily females. And I would rather work with 100 men than 10 females. We're all just caught up right here. And so we're constantly thinking and worrying and constantly assuming what other people are thinking of us or of a situation. And so I'm always, always trying to teach perspective. And Keegan was funny one day. He's like, Mom, I went to college. I have a psych degree. And he's like, I was wondering if, do I need to go to those classes so I can do what you do? And I'm like, what do you mean, do what I do? And he's like, you always seem to have an understanding for what other people's thoughts are and not assuming that I know them, but I'm trying to give grace because this person's upset because of this and then that person's upset because of that. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Where were they coming from? What was their life like? What was going on? What? So there's tons of scripture in the Bible for this exact message, but as I already shared with you, I will grow in that and I'll be able to bring that to the table some other time, possibly. But then again, if that's not the way I'm meant to speak to you, then maybe I won't. But I just think it's so important in our lives, especially females, to always give grace to and have an appreciation for how someone else's mind works and not judge them for that. So I hope you understand my heart there, and I try very hard to walk that out also and live that, lead by example with that. So I don't know what time it is. Oh, yes, I do. Okay. This one's a hard one for me, and I kind of opened up a little bit with it, but guarded and private versus vulnerable and self-reflection. I've spent so many years of my life in the guarded and private, and I was raised that way, but then after I went through the life struggles and challenges, it was even easier for me to just stay in. And Kim, you know, talks about her bubble, and mine, it wasn't even a bubble. It was more of a, like, walls. Just, I got this, I'm going to worry about this, and these two little munchkins, and everybody else just needs to leave me alone. And I went through a long time with that, actually. I came into this church that way. The only reason that I actually was, God brought the boys to youth, and then now we're here, and there's still a lot of work to be done there. Those of you that know my husband, as precious and as wonderful as he is, he calls me his PETA. He's not there all the time, right? And he's not as active. And so I, just like the rest of you, you have things you have to tend to and deal with and struggle with. Some of you don't have that person and you wish you did, meaning the extra person sitting next to you. Some of you have it, and it's an incredible struggle. Mine's not an incredible struggle. Brandon is good to us, and we are blessed by the fact that he's a good man, and he's led my boys by example in a lot of ways. But now my boys, as Kim Brake pointed out to me years ago, are leading him in faith. So if any of you knew us 4 years ago versus now, he's actually present and he communicates with you and he hugs. So it's not just me that's coming out of my bubble and behind my walls. It's my husband too. And that's a joy for me. This book right here is a book that I think is absolutely remarkable. It's called Daring Greatly, packed full of scripture. Absolutely packed full of scripture. And the author is, it's B, it's not an R. It's Brené and I might be pronouncing that wrong, but Brené Brown, B-R-E-N-E, Brown. I loved one of the messages in there. It is, she writes, when we shut ourselves off from vulnerability, we distance ourselves from the experiences that bring purpose and meaning to our lives. And that, to me, is growing in grace. So I wasn't getting anywhere by holding myself up in my comfort zone and not allowing other people in. So when I come to an area like this or an arena like this, and I hear Lisa speak several years ago, Donzie's messages, Kim's messages, Angela's messages, where are you? Oh, she's not here. Oh, shoot. I'm totally drawing a blank and I'm embarrassed. No? Where is she? Rachel. Oh, there you are. Yeah, so the year that you spoke to my heart. You talked about the work environment. There's so many of you. Brooke one time got up in front of, she didn't speak a message, but I shared this with you last night. Christina's another one. You know, and you're going to be up here. And you guys are all examples for me of like, I can do this. If they can do this, I know I can do this. We can do this. And your time's coming. Not, I'm pointing at Brooke. Don't get that deer in the headlight look, Kim. So I just, it's like, get out of our box. Life is so much more fun. And sometimes you might still find me a little tiny bit in that box because it's a safe place. Like, I'd started to branch out and be more comfortable and allow myself to be. And then last year, I hit a little bit of a scary road with some medical things that just got me off course. And bless Donzie's heart, she's calling me in the hospital. That would be like my gram. So she speaks to me in a way that my gram speaks to me, and that's what makes me tear up. So, whew. I went back in my bubble for a little while because that was a safe place. And I'm always pouring into people, and that's just what I do. But then sometimes I don't have any left for me. And in that instance, I couldn't pour into people. All of those creepy things from your past when you're healing from surgery or on drugs and you have all of those dark times, it's like they all just flood right back in. And so I went back in my bubble for a while, but I'm back out of my bubble. So, and all of us are going to do that. You're going to go in, ebbs and flows. You're going to come back out. But hopefully every time what we realize is that we're all here. And so we're bringing them back out of their bubble, and we're a safe place for them. And we darn well should be a safe place for them. This church body, it's a safe place, and it needs to stay a safe place. And we need to be speaking into each other's lives, and we need to be lifting each other up, not criticizing each other and not putting each other down. So we need to keep New Hope a safe place. All right, vulnerability is courage and uncomfortable, but results in being present and being seen and being heard. And that's what I feel has happened for me, is basically I've allowed God in where he should be, and therefore I'm able to give out. And that's my prayer and my hope, is that all of you can work on that, or we can work on it together. So, okay. I'm afraid I have a little bit more, but I'm not. This is so new for me, and it's okay. Thank you. So, you can't help but you compare, and that's what we're not supposed to do. So I'm not going to compare. Okay, this is something I think is fun, and I really well. First of all, I want you to read the book sometime. This last thing is something that's fun, and I think that. Hopefully, it will give you a little piece of something to take away to remind you that I am trying to give you hope. So I have this little bundle of stuff here. Have you ever heard of the... I don't even really care about this. It's what is your word? My intent is what the people are. But I have a little bundle of stuff here. And I want each of you to... challenge yourself. I've said that a lot, and I'm doing the same thing, so I'm not expecting anything of you that I'm not doing myself. I want you to consider, think about your passions, think about your dreams, think about your goals. What drives you? What motivates you? What inspires you? And how do you want to live? So that's a big deal if you really think about it, like how you want to live, not what job you have and how much money we make and how many things we have, but how do you want to live? Like who do you want to be? And so how far do you want your shadow to reach? So someone that pours into my life, a mentor in my life, challenged many of us to think about, pray about, and come up with our word. I'm like, our word? Okay. So you have to limit it to one. And that's hard. I think that's really hard. And it'll change over time. But for right now, if we could walk away from retreat, and even after retreat, it might happen for you, I want you to think a lot about what it is that you want to be, do, have, not have, but as far as in your walk, and what you want to represent. Mine is purpose. And there's a lot of reasons for that, but I want to live with purpose, for purpose, and on purpose. And it was sweet yesterday because Merrick saw this. He's like, oh, cool. He wanted to read my message. He wanted to know what I was going to talk about. And then he knew about this. And without even hesitation, and they're so precious, those innocent young and guys and girls, but obviously mine's, you know, Keegan and Merrick. They're so innocent in their childlike faith. And he's just like, mine's joy. I'm like, are you serious? Like, you just came up with that? He's like, yep. And anybody that knows Merrick, and he has a bubble, but he's got this internal spunk that just like pops out of nowhere. And I'm like, did you just say that? You know, and Keegan, he's my always making everything okay. He's a lot like me in that, where we're always trying to fill the gap and trying to fix everything and make it okay, and that's Keegan. But Merrick, yeah, mine's joy. I'm like, oh. So anyways, I have this kit with me, and I got enough supplies for everybody to have one should they want one. And they're bracelets. So you actually, if you do know this kit, some of you, no? Okay, well, it's cool because I have all the alphabet, and you hammer in the word, and then your word is on your, and it's a bracelet. So, not taking away from Belinda's project. So, okay, but please don't hesitate. So, I would have been that one that was too shy to ask. So I don't want you to be too shy to ask, and I want you to walk away from retreat with something, many things, you have so many things, but I want another thing for you to be able to wear and remind you of your word, and so maybe just challenge you. So, guys, I'm very, very grateful. I feel blessed and honored to be here. And I feel blessed and honored to be pouring into any of your hearts. And I thank God, because I know for a fact that if it weren't for his strength, that Kina wouldn't have strength on her own. So I thank God also for the friends in my life that you guys kick my fanny. You do. You kick my fanny in ways that every single one of you has a different way about you. A soft soul. This one, I'm going to get you. You see her in church bumping my bum, and I'm like, my bubble, you know. And then Kim, she's got a very special place in my heart, my soul, my life, and my voice. So, and that's my lifeline besides the man upstairs. So I don't have anything else, because I feel like I've said everything that I was meant to say, and I pray that I touched you in some way, shape, or form. So thank you. Thank you.